Meow! Welcome to the Cat Tunes Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Corelli. On this podcast, I'm going to talk about the stories behind my songs, the production tools that I've used, the production methods that I've employed, the instruments that I've played, the instruments that I've discovered, the arrangement methods that I've used, the real-life stories which precipitated the creation of my entire albums or of my separate tracks. So let's jump right into it, shall we? And welcome, you listening to the Cat Tunes Podcast. This is episode 102. And the song we're going to be talking about today is called I'm Okay, from the same When Painkillers Fail album. And boy, is that not a happy song at all. It's a pretty dark one, and a pretty wild one too, with a whole variety of things going in there. But amazingly, it is not really that complicated. There are a few parts which kind of sound complicated, and I wish I could investigate them and dissect them precisely, but I think I can sort of estimate at least the scale that is being used in these more difficult parts. And I'm talking about these tattered and torn riffs that occasionally show up there. I think I can approximate that, and that would be an accurate assessment. Now, I'm Okay was written basically as a continuation of the previous track, which is called In the Shadow of the Valley of Death, and I'm Okay directly refers to that previous track. So they kind of come together in terms of meaning and in terms of the message, in terms of the vibe. I would say that I'm Okay is just more revved up. It's just a more energetic piece. And it's more sarcastic. It's more sarcastic, and it actually depicts things. If In the Shadow of the Valley of Death kind of estimates, and it's like a dream version of those same events, I'm Okay cuts to the chase, I would say. And if you read the lyrics attentively, you will get it. Again, all the themes explored in these two songs, in both songs, are dark. But here's the thing, it's all of it is there in metaphorical. All of these themes explored in these two songs, especially in the song I'm Okay, it's all metaphors. It's not literal depictions, and the darkness of it is this is not some sort of special made up darkness, let's put it this way. This is the kind of darkness that exists in the world. This is the kind of darkness that exists in many people's lives. And ultimately, again, if you read the lyrics carefully, I think you might relate to what exact kind of darkness am I talking about. It has to do with bargaining with the future. That's what it is. I will not explain the lyrics, and I will not go through them line by line. The lyrics are peppered with sarcasm, definitely. And yes, certainly I was not in a very happy place at the time when this song was written back in 2007, in fall 2007. I was going with the feel, like in many cases when I'm writing a song, I'm not trying to encode something. I'm not trying to create a mystery out of nothing. I'm just basically talking about the same things, about the mystery of life and about the journey of life. This song is about the journey of life. That's what it is about. And so is the previous song, and so are many other songs on this album. And not only on this album, but on a lot of my albums, if not on all of them. It all has to do with the journey of life, of one's life. Sometimes it's my life, sometimes it's not my life. Sometimes these are assumptions and aspirations of the future. Sometimes it has to do with the past. Sometimes it has to do with the past and future together. And sometimes it deals with the past, future, and present at the same time. And all of it is very metaphorical. And it takes on different shapes and forms. And quite often I'm using pretty gruesome metaphors. One could say that I'm deliberately utilizing dream logic to a certain extent. And it might seem like it's just there for the sake of dream logic or for the sake of darkness. To some people it might seem like that, but it's really all very real. That's the whole point. It's all very, very real. But music has its own... my music has its own language. It's not just the language of music. It's textures. It's a living painting that evolves. And it is filled with meaning. And that meaning is conveyed through the lyrics. So carefully read the lyrics and you will get the meaning. And what can I say about the production of this song? Actually, this was a very difficult one to perform because it's so, so high. The hook is pretty damn high. It was recorded in fall 2007. I don't think I myself was in my best vocal shape. I was experimenting a lot, and I was pushing my limits. This is one of the songs on which, back in 2007, I kind of pushed the envelope all the way up. And again, I'll say this, I wish that at the time I actually had real guitars, because all of this would have sounded more in line and more in line with what I wanted it to be like. Would it have been recorded with live drums and live guitars and all of that wonderful stuff? But at the time, I didn't have those instruments at hand. I didn't have a guitar, I didn't play guitar, and I didn't have the capabilities to record it properly. So it is what it is. Now, I think enough with the backstory for this song, and with that being said, let's move on to some of the music analysis for this track, shall we? So here we go with the music analysis, and I will try to simplify things down to chord progressions as much as I possibly can, because as I'm saying throughout this album, trying to discern the nitty-gritty of what exact notes are being played there, which exact notes were programmed, which what's going on in the bass line, what's going on in the electronic guitars is very difficult without having the actual MIDI originals. Very difficult. So let's start with that. This song is in C minor, and it shifts gears a couple of times. It has its normal tempo, normal BPM, which I would say is kind of moderate. Then it has a double time section in the end, and it has a half time section on the second verse. But before we get to it, let's start out with listening to the intro. And to the bridge riff, all the way up to the first verse. And this is where I'm going to pause and give some commentary. So with that being said, let's listen.
Yeah.
So, the song is starting out with kind of an airy intro. Something to that effect. I'm not going to replicate this precisely. Hell knows what's going on there. I'll just note that we're in C minor Phrygian, and some of the dissonance that is being conveyed right out of the gates, despite its airiness, is coming exactly from this little keyboard or electronic synth, whatever the thing is that plays it, right on top. This half tone up there. So there is a D flat involved there in the C minor scale. And also an F flat, the low fourth, one of my favorite combos. Then it is joined by a guitar, and there is, right out of the gates, there is a build-up. There is a massive build-up. Again, I'm going to try to replicate it somewhat. Moving pretty rapidly. So it starts with a C, and there are some passing notes, chromatic passing notes, and I can't tell you what's actually there, but there is a C, and goes into a B natural major, goes into an F flat major, goes into a G major, passes down through a D flat major, back to C, then it goes to an E flat major, goes to an F flat major, and goes into a B natural major, and then over a D flat goes, returns back to the root of the key to a C. And this is where we're hitting this bridge riff, which goes on something like this. Something to that effect. Again, it utilizes a lot of the F flat, namely of the fourth, the low fourth. So there's an F flat, there is an E flat, which goes to a C, and it moves very quickly. B flat, going to a B natural. Something to that effect, but it uses this, the top of the scale, an A flat, B flat, and a B natural to a C. Something to that effect. Let's say that this is, you know, an approximation of what's going on in the bridge riff. Now, after this, we're immediately there is a little echo of the intro appears again, and then after that we're diving into the first verse. Now, from here on, I want to listen to the first verse. The broken riff, then to the hook, and actually then let's listen from here, from the first verse all the way through, to the first hook, then second verse, and then second hook. Let's listen then.
I'm
After this little echo of the intro, we're starting with a C, and the verse is relatively simple compared to whatever was going on before. So there is a C. Dum, ba, ba, ba. Again, the melody utilizes the F flat, goes up to an E flat, goes to an F flat, back to an E flat. Bum, ba, da, 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 da. And it uses D flat. Da, da, ba, da, da, ba, da, da. And the chords below are a C, then an E flat, then a D flat, then a C. Bum, 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 da, 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 so the first line, we got it. And the second line goes, bum, 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 bum. Basically starts with a C major, then goes into an F flat major. Ba-dum, bum, ba-dum, bum. It's an F flat major, and the melody goes E flat, D, A flat, and then there's a G major. So it's a B natural, B flat, A flat, and back to a G in the melody and a C in the chord progression. So both lines. So we're kind of alternating to the ear, we're kind of alternating between major and minor. Then again, the first line repeats. So, third line is just like the first one. So again, there is a C major. Then the melody goes into an E flat, and the chord underneath is an F flat major plus 7. The melody goes up into a D flat, and the chord underneath is a D flat major. Then we're going into the so-called broken riff. Thank you. there is rapping going over it. And it, again, I don't claim that this is precisely what's going on there, but it uses the Phrygian second, meaning the D flat. It also alternates between E flat and F flat. And it also utilizes the F sharp in one of the phrases. And then the alteration between B flat and B natural, so it is present there. Then after that, we're immediately jumping into the first hook, which starts with a C. C minor going into an B natural major. Now I'm going into an F flat major. And this is happening on a G major. Passing D, D flat, going back to C. So we've started with a C minor going into an E flat major. Again, F flat major plus 7. Then we're going into a B flat, B natural major. Da, 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 da. So there is a B major. Da, da. Then there is a D flat major. Da, da. Then we're going into a C minor. So that's what it looks like. After the hook, we're going back to the original riff, the intro riff. And there is again this little thing fluttering on top, which is again an echo of the actual intro. And then after that, we're going into the second verse, which is basically a repetition of the first one, only it has this rattling snare drum, which is kind of building up, but it's the same melody. And then there is again this broken riff with rapping and screaming, which builds up and builds up. And again, we're going into the... into the hook. Thank you. Now, let's listen from this point all the way to the end, and then I'll come. And again, everything subsides, and there is a major build-up which kind of mirrors whatever is going on in the intro. Again, there is the same thing going on somewhere high above. And there is one guitar left that plays the same chords that we've already heard in the intro. It's basically the same chord progression as just being repeated over and over again in a different context with a different motion. Builds up, then there is, I'm okay, in the shadow of the valley of death, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. This has been repeated, and there's a build up, and it's kind of a combination of the broken riff. The same stuff, only now it is, we're doubling down there on it, and there are some additional elements, and it is merged with this little thing from the intro. So it becomes kind of really dark, and it leads up to, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. And then from there, it goes to the last hook, which is being performed in double time. Then there's the outro. And with the rhythm is left only to the guitars because the drum section is not playing there at all. So it is just. Mm-hmm. it goes across the bar, so this is dun, 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 dun. Everything dies out on this last B natural major. So as you can hear, this is it is actually an amazingly simple song. It basically utilizes the same chord progression and the same phrases, but in every part the context slightly changes. Even you see the hook kind of mirrors the verse, because the verse goes whereas then, it's the same sixth that goes upward in the hook. Only then it, you know, rolls down and then runs up again. This is another phrase that is used also in the hook. Only here in the hook. So basically, the scale that is being used in this song goes something like this: C, D flat, E flat, F flat, G, A flat, B flat, B natural, C. So this is the analysis for I'm OK, and with that being said, let's move on to the next section, shall we? Well, well, well. Let me say it once again. I'm OK is not a bright pop song. Not at all. As you can hear, it's pretty damn dark. But in a way, it's actually very realistic, because I wasn't depicting at the time when I was writing this album, When Painkillers Fail, I wasn't depicting something unreal. I wasn't depicting events, a made-up fantasy world. I was depicting actual life. But I was doing it in a metaphorical way. I was employing various metaphors and allegories. And the ones that I really needed were kind of dark, because life was dark. But there was plenty of... I could find plenty of influence in my life at the time. In its abrasive themes, abrasive events, quite often painful events, but... out of those events and out of those times, out of that very dark chapter, a whole album has been born. If not for those events, this music wouldn't have been written at all. It wouldn't have been created. It would have had no fertile soil to emerge out of. So this is just what it is. But once again, I want to emphasize this, that this is not a depiction of some supernatural stuff. This is not a depiction of a fantasy world. This is not a depiction of a theoretical parallel universe or something to that effect. It's not fictional at all. It is real. But it is made the way this language goes, the way it flows. It employs powerful metaphors which are in themselves unreal. So this is a way to convert very real things, very real emotions and experiences and events, to convert it into a work of art. And when you listen to this work of art, it seems like it's just an abstraction. But that's quite often what I exactly do. I take whatever happened, and I convert those events into an abstraction, into a generalized abstraction that can hopefully which can hopefully be related to by many more people than, you know, not just myself, but other people as well. Even if they don't quite understand it on the face of it, I'm trying to convey these core messages in all of their sheer brutality and all of their realism. So, if you haven't heard any of my music yet, of course I want to invite you to check out any of my albums. I have lighter music, brighter music, and I have darker music. And some of this music is rather heavy, and other albums, like Slot Lips, for example, is extremely experimental and kind of echoes the works of David Lynch. Should I say, or maybe you've already guessed it, my favorite filmmaker. So if you haven't heard any of my music yet, please check out Catherine Corelli on any major streaming platform. You can easily find me on Spotify, on YouTube Music, or on Apple Music, iTunes, Deezer, wherever you consume music, look for me and you will find me. Also check out my YouTube channel. I have a Cat Vibes series where there's just plenty of casual footage. And I have a Cat Talk series where I'm talking about things that actually concern me at the moment. Sometimes it's political commentary, sometimes it's social commentary. Stop by, drop me a comment. Tell me what you think. Also, I got a Patreon with my graphic art. And I think I'll put a link to it right here in the description to this episode. But before I go, I want to also make a shout out for my other business, which is skin health and aromatherapy products, Southern Caracol. I am talking about this Southern Caracol thing on every episode. This time I'm not going to talk a lot about it. I'm just going to invite you to check out the link in the description. If you're interested in skin health and aromatherapy, mostly skin health, products such as lotions, oatmeal and honey soap bars, shampoo bars, massage oil, lip balms, etc., etc., etc. Check out my store and see what you can find for yourself. All of these products, the bright side to all of these products, the thing that makes them really wonderful, is that they're all handcrafted here in the great state of Kentucky. They're all natural. They have only all natural ingredients. They're very good for your skin, and they're much better. They're much better than the big box store equivalents. So check out my store, southerncaracol.com. Pick something for yourself, for your friends and family, and your skin and the skin of your friends and family will thank you later. And with that being said, thank you very much for spending your time with me. I appreciate you. I love you, and you'll hear me in the next episode.